My name is Ehsan Ansari. I live in Maplewood, Minnesota.
And I'm Zehra Ansari.
I came to Minnesota in 1965 as a student at the University of Minnesota. I did my graduate work in industrial engineering. I landed a job here and I stayed here. So I'm here since 1965. I've come from Hyderabad, India.
Well, I came here to Minnesota in 1969, in April of 1969, after we were married. We were both married in January 1969, and I came here as his wife. And since then, in the beginning, I was mostly home taking care of our two sons. But then later on, I started working in the field of child development, and have stayed here. Neither one of us wanted to move or had an opportunity to move. So we have just continued to live in Minnesota since then. And our children grew up here. Well, we have two sons who are now close to 40, both of them. And we really found Minnesota to be a very, easy place to raise children. We have, for the most part, lived in Maplewood. In fact, in the same house that we are in now. Well, I do remember, we went through a lot of changes in accepting some Western ideals or Western practices even, as part of our lives, even though, and even for me, and I think for most Muslims, the biggest challenge always was to figure out what is truly Islamic and what is from my culture, and a lot of times, because I grew up as an Indian Muslim, I couldn't really differentiate the two when I was a new Muslim here, and so I would say things to my sons even as they were growing up. I would say, this is not how we do things. And they would say, Mom, are you talking from your religious experience or Islamic experience? Are you talking from Indian experience? And so for us as parents, that was probably the biggest challenge, to figure out what we should allow our kids to do and what we shouldn't allow our kids to do. I think now people, the new generation of people who are coming, and the younger families are probably more Islamically educated than we were. In India, religion is the way you get identified. I don't know how it is now, but when I was growing up, it was a big part of your identity to be, are you a Muslim, are you a Hindu, are you a Christian? And nobody necessarily talked about it, and we were very good friends, all of us, but at the same time, we sort of knew one another from our religion. The way we dressed was slightly different, the way we talked was slightly different, and so on. When we came here, I didn't know this politically, political understanding that you never talk about religion, you never talk about money, is it? And what's the other third thing? Something else, I can't remember. But, so naively, I would start asking people about what they believe in, and, just because I was interested. And also, I had a need, I guess, to let them know I'm a Muslim. So there was that period initially. When I first came to Minnesota, I didn't cover my hair, like I do now. I started it in pretty late, like in 1989 specifically. And then after that, that became actually an easier tool for me to assert my identity. And I think that might have been one of my main reasons even. I mean, subconsciously, I think that I started covering myself because I thought, now I don't have to explain to them, who I am, and because religion was always a big part of who I was. And so I guess, and everybody must have gone through their own journey of, how they established their identity.
For me, particularly because I came in 65, my experience has been very different from most people who have come later, because I was involved in the Islamic activities right from, say, day one, if you want to call it, from 65, being a part of the Muslim Student Association at the University of Minnesota, we were really bringing out a lot of things as a student body, taking part in all the student activities, trying to expose the non-Muslims or even the student community on campus to the Islam and Muslims. And in that process, we did get a lot of help from some of the key professors or the there was an organization, student religious organization on campus, which would coordinate all these religious organizations, just student bodies. And the director was Dr. Henry Allen. Dr. Henry Allen was an excellent person who worked very closely with us and was able to help us out in almost all our activities, and any kind of hardship that we would come across, he was there to help us out. You know, so it was something very unique, and it was coming up at that time. We did a lot of work. So that is what is very good experience for me, that I cherish those memories, because that was the foundation that we laid out for the Muslim community in the Twin Cities in particular, and of course state of Minnesota in general. That was very good thing, and things continued after that. Families, we were students, and then we started becoming families, and we were settling down here, and there was other needs, because before, the students' needs were different from family needs. So we'll have to work on those. And that's Islamic Center of Minnesota was a project that we started as a Muslim Student Association. And then the Islamic Center came up, and we worked on that piece of it too, you know. So it was not an easy task, because there were so many obstacles for us. The biggest challenge for us was to find a place that we could buy, and that was the biggest challenge, because nobody wanted to have a religious place, you know, like no matter, even if it's the zoning was for a church set up and things like that, but the neighborhood around and the people around did not want to have a Muslims come in their area. It was a big challenge, but we had to go through the city and have meetings, public hearing, and after all that, somehow the city would give us the permission to buy that place. So like in Columbia Heights, first of all, we bought a place in Dinkytown itself, because still there were a lot of people living around Dinkytown. And once that place became, you know, we felt short of space, we moved to Columbia Heights. We had agreement with the churches across from our building. They were kind enough to say, okay, you can use a parking lot, because our building was not with a parking lot. So we made a deal with them and a contract and a lease contract for $1 for 99 years. So that was one thing that in Columbia Heights. And for a long time, we had problems with the neighbors. One guy across the street from our building was the one who came in and said he would be taking care of the building. So he was the caretaker. We hired him to do it. And the people around him, the neighbors, would go and tell him, why are you working for those people? They're not good people and this and that. And he just refused to let us go and said, no, they are the best people I have met, and I'm going to work for them. So he did until he died. So he was there across the street, very nice family. That's the husband and wife. I would go there, meet with them, and all. So it was, you know, like slowly we built up our relationship. And it was, you know, great. That probably was 1974, I think. Dinkytown was, you know, like it was a place which was a house. And because still there were a lot of Muslim students living and were there as students and living in Dinkytown, the vision was to have a house which is located in Dinkytown, and we used the one floor, first floor, for our masjid, for prayer, and the library, and meeting room. And there were the second and third floor, we have rooms, and we rented out to the Muslim students. So this way, they were able to stay and be able to go to university, had the kitchen facilities and all. So they could do their own cooking and things. So we provided them with that. We were having our Sunday gathering there, Friday gathering there in, for prayers. And then we started off school for kids. Even then, we did not have enough room there. So we had to rent space. There was a church across again. So we started off school for our kids who were just growing up, 5-6 years, in the basement of the church. So we did that. After we saw that this space was not getting meeting our needs, we started looking for another place.
Sunday school probably had anywhere from 35 to 50 kids. You know, and I remember going into the basement of the church and doing, you know, having some classes. Miss Feriel Abraham was one of the early, you know, founders, sort of, who helped. And I was working along with her.
When we moved into Columbia Heights, what happened at the same time or around the same time, there was a lot of people who had moved from Uganda. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the population of Muslims grew. Once they were here, and these churches started contacting Islamic Center, and we would go and meet the families, bring the families, and we invited the families to the center, and we even had a little reception for these families. Now, the Fridley School building was available. It was an elementary school building, and we went through the same hassle trying to acquire that building because nobody wanted to have Muslims come over there. I mean, we had an open house. After we acquired, we invited the city council people and the school district and some neighbors and all that. These people came and met with them, we chit-chatted and all that. Tino Grace is principal, and he said he will let us use their parking lot. So we made the same deal again, you know, a 99-year lease, and we still use that parking lot, even though we had a lot of changes made over the years. But this was in the early 80s that we got that Fridley building. But we had gone through so many meetings, public hearing, because neighbors in every month would complain. They didn't want us, they wanted us to go move away from there. And every month in their meeting in the city of Fridley, Islamic Center used to be on their agenda. Concerns were that we were creating a lot of disturbance and things like that.
And we looked different.
Finally, you know, like the last meeting I attended at the city hall in Fridley, and I said, neighbors, we are trying our best. We want to be good neighbors to you. And we are trying our best. We are trying to meet all the things that you are asking us to do. There's one thing for sure I'm going to tell you at this point. That we are here to stay. We are not going to move. So you will have to accept us. That's all, that's what I said. But, of course, you know, that of course didn't make much difference. We still had complained, but I don't know if that was good or bad, because the YMCA used to rent place from this school before, the gymnasium and one or two classes for their summer activities. And once we bought the building, they also continued their renting with us. And I said, fine, you know, because we were not having much activity during the daytime. So they were renting, and they rented for a couple years. So the neighbors sent them a letter saying that, why are you renting from Muslims and things like that? You should not be renting. Why don't you go someplace else? So YMCA was kind enough to give that letter to us. Hmm. We took that letter to the city and showed them to the city after that one, and complaints were gone, because we were trying to tell the city that, hey, there's no problem, there's no, it's only biases and things like that. And but that letter was a clear proof that what the people wanted. And after that, you know, like, things subsided.
They were very early, even, you know, I remember what I was involved in. I remember, you know, we as a group of us would even have interfaith dialogue. You know, there were, Fatma Radha was one of the people I remember going out with her and having our interfaith dialogue, mostly among, that was a more of a women's group, where there were Jewish, you know, women and Christian women and us, who would have dialogues about our different religions in either people's homes or, you know, or other places. We even at that time had a Muslim women's Women of Minnesota group, a small group, where we would meet and again talk about our different issues as Muslims. I think it was more about understanding one another's religion. So, you know, you were asking what kind of, you know, discussions we had. It was about, you know, each person representing what they believed about the life after death, for instance, and, you know, our perception of what Jesus is and their perception of what Jesus is, and, you know, and depending on the people involved, you know, it would become quite deep at times, and then if some new person came, then we'd sometimes go back to, you know, the basics. But overall, I think it was more the idea of understanding each other's religions and acknowledging it, and not necessarily getting into an argument about who's right and who's wrong.
Greatest achievement of Muslims from standpoint of what their greatest needs in a new country, with the, you know, like, from religious point of view, I would say, would be of course a place of worship, and providing institutions, okay, and the other needs is, you know, like, being able to perform some religious rites, like marriages and things like that, and being recognized in the state, like there are registered people who perform the nikahs and all, and they sign the legal documents, which has been accepted in the state of Minnesota. Finding a place for the burial, mm-hmm. and doing that part of it, and we have been able to accomplish all that. So these are some of the important needs which were not there. Now it's all in place. So I would say that we are at least not finding where do I go, what do I do, and those kinds of things. So we have, alhamdulillah, done this to provide some of these dire needs for the Muslim community. And we have set all these things in place. So I would say that is a major, major accomplishment for Muslims in Minnesota. And of course, you see it in other cities and other states too, but it's not only specific to Minnesota, but to Muslims at large. So I would say those are some of the important accomplishments.
I think for the most part, Muslims do feel at home in Minnesota, you know. So that, I think that's the biggest accomplishment. There are still some new immigrants who need help, but then we're established enough, the old people are established enough to offer that help to the new immigrants. Yeah, you know, my hope really is that, inshallah, all of us, all Muslims, or most of the Muslims, really follow the spirit of Islam and in our personal lives, you know, get that honesty and the, you know, working with others, working in, including more and more people, you know, among us, so that the time comes when I do hear Muslim names being associated with positive accomplishments on the news. I mean, I know maybe I'm hoping, you know, I know news go for, sensations, but, you know, media goes for sensations. But inshallah, if there is a lot of good stuff happening, that time will come too. And the good stuff will be out there and people can say Muslims did make a positive impact on this community.